I ain't getting this voice.
And good evening and welcome in everybody to Sports Talk on this Tuesday night. Scott Beatty back with you after a little spring break. Lauren Tate here as well. We've got you till 6 o'clock. No Illinois baseball tonight. Their game against Bradley was canceled because of, well, it's wet out. You know that. They'll play tomorrow at 4 o'clock. They'll take on Chicago Concordia. We are going to dive into the impact of the roster shuffling for Illinois basketball. Coming up, Shannon Ryan joins us from the Chicago Tribune to talk about Loyola's run to the Final Four. A little bit later, we'll hear comments from Illini football practice today, and Howard Griffith was there, so we'll hear what he has to say as well. How you doing, Lauren?
Very good.
Can you say it? Georgi Bashanishvili. That's what I'm going with. Georgi Bashanishvili.
Bashanishvili. That's pretty close. Bashanishvili.
6'9", 230-pound forward, played this past season in New Jersey, a native of Austria. He is joining the Illini basketball program. This comes after the news yesterday, of course, that Tijon Lucas and Michael Finke are transferring away. We'll dive more into that as we go along, but do want to get you a couple of headlines here. Louisville has hired Xavier's Chris Mack as their new coach.
Big deal.
That is a big deal. It lures him. I mean, what you have to walk into there in Louisville and clean up versus what you get to keep if you stay at Xavier.
Boy's walking away from a good program. But more money, 7 years, boy. And, you know, they start throwing three-plus million out at you. What are you going to do?
48 years old. Hard to refuse, I suppose. AP All-American first team is out. Three freshmen on it. Trey Young from Oklahoma. DeAndre Ayton from Arizona. Duke's Marvin Bagley III. All first-teamers. Villanova's Jalen Brunson and Kansas guard Devontae Graham are on that team. Also, another coaching carousel news bit today. Jeff Capel is going to be the new coach at Pitt. He was an assistant under Mike Krzyzewski. Many saw him as the heir apparent to Krzyzewski at Duke, but I suppose that doesn't mean he's done.
Oh, no. And Krzyzewski's going to be around a few more years. And when he goes, maybe 3 or 4 years from now or five, who knows, how he can coach as long as he wants to. Cape will be one of those people considered, and he's going to inherit a little more than we realize. You know, they were winless this year in the league, and Pitt was. And
yeah.
They really had a bad team, but this was a team that Stallings put together with mostly freshmen, and they will be sophomores next year, and his best player was injured early in the season and lost, so they get him back. So maybe Pitt won't be so bad next year.
Illinois first baseman Bren Spillane named Player of the World today. Actually, more precisely, National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association Player of the Week, and that is a big deal, in fact. He becomes just the third Illini ever to win this national award. He was also the NCAA.com Player of the Week and one of Collegiate Baseball Newspaper's National Players of the Week as well. Just ridiculous numbers that he is putting up.
Well, you saw some of it earlier. Tell me about him.
The thing that is most impressive is when the ball leaves his bat and he is going the opposite way, it looks like it's just going to be a pop-up, and it keeps carrying and carrying. He has ridiculous power to the opposite field that's deceptive. You don't see it because he gets it high up in the air, so it's a big high arc. He can hit line drives. He can mash it all the way around. I'm just saying when he displays that opposite power, it's almost deceptive, and he's got something going because he's not – I mean, he's thin. He's got a big lever.
He's strong and he's.
Oh, I'm not saying he's not strong, but I'm just saying
he's got a wonderful swing. I mean, a right-handed batter and he's right between two left-handers, Yalowitz and Massey, and both those guys are good too.
I'm just saying when you look at him, you don't say, "Well, there's a guy that's going to win a bench press competition or something."
No, but he looks like a potential professional baseball player
at
a very high level. I mean, there's no limit to how good he can be.
Huge frame, and he's fast. He steals bases.
Yeah. That's another asset.
You know, I mean, because there's...
And he was a good enough infielder to play third base originally, so, you know, and he could play outfield, so he gives you versatility on the defensive side and certainly can play first base. I mean, a big, tall guy like that is always good at first base.
Kind of thought he was an X-factor coming in this year for base for the Illini, and then it started out pretty well, and you thought, okay, he's going to be okay. It's just gone to another ridiculous level.
Gone to another level.
By the way, there's ball game tomorrow for the Illini against Concordia Chicago. They're a Division III school. The game will count towards the Illini's record and statistics, won't count towards the RPI. But kind of cool that Michael Massey, you mentioned him, the second baseman, his older brother, plays on Concordia's
squad.
That's
third, so he must be a good player.
Yeah, and they're going to face off against each other. Michael Massey tweeting out today about how tickled he is about to have this opportunity. So that's 4 o'clock first pitch tomorrow. All right, Michael Finke has departed Illinois basketball. Tijon Lucas doing that. Those were both rumored to be happening as the season wrapped up. Finke's is a little bit more natural, I guess, because he's finished his degree. And, you know, I don't know if he it seemed to me he never flourished into this system. And he was a guy that started out, everybody thought this was going to be a great system for him because he can run. Well, it just never—he just never was in a good fit, and he never shot as well as you needed him
Statistically,
to.
Statistically, he never shot as well, even though he seemed to have a perfect release. Mm-hmm. I never saw anything wrong with his shot, except it didn't go in enough.
Yeah, you know, I have nothing but the best to wish him, and you know, he's a Champagne kid, and you know, we kind of watched him develop here. Always did things right. Was led the team in many ways.
Yeah, well, you remember himself. When he redshirted, he was named the most improved player on the team.
Yeah.
John Gross named him most improved, a guy that didn't play. So they had high hopes for him. They thought he was working harder. They wouldn't give him that award.
Yeah. So I wish him the best. You know, I think, you know, I'd love to see him stay. But, you know, probably from a basketball standpoint, I don't know if you feel like that's a huge loss.
Defensively, he has shortcomings, and I think that we all understand that, and I think that Underwood is determined to bring in players like the young man you just pronounced. You pronounced his name, either mispronounced or pronounced, we'll never know. But
he's going to be Georgie B or something when he gets here.
He's a much better defensive player, apparently. I mean, and he's a very good passer, and he can also shoot. I mean, it's a guy that Underwood is very high on, I know that. A month ago when he thought he had him pretty well, they waited for his mother to be able to fly overseas to be here with him this weekend, this past weekend. He came in on Sunday, and I think that it was a known commitment even before he arrived.
So we'll see. There's a lot of work here to be done. There's several open scholarships now after these latest transfers. I don't know if there's another transfer out there or not. There was rumors out there about Matisse Vassil, but again, he didn't have a ton of playing time. But the lack of big bodies is a huge concern right now for the Illini. And as much as I kind of jumped onto the optimism wave that came when Brad Underwood got here a year ago or thereabouts, I'm not very high on what's going to happen this next year.
Aren't you?
And I think it's got to, you know, unless there's some trees that he's shaking, that it's going to surprise us all.
Well, he got a 5-star guy in his Aya DeSumo.
And
he's
I think that's great.
He got a 6'11 center in Kane. He's got, you know, I mean.
I just reserved on what can Kane bring you as a freshman?
I don't know. Probably more than the two freshmen that he the two big freshmen he had. Maybe more defensively than Finke.
Greg Eboy Bodine has to take a huge step
yeah.
into his sophomore year.
But here's my question for you. Are they better off right now than they were 2 months ago?
I think they're worse because of depth.
Do you really?
Sell me.
Well, I mean, you only need 5 guys. You need 8 or 9. I understand that, but I think that what they've done is they've improved the wing position with DeSumo. I mean, he is a 5-star. I don't think he's as good as they say. I'll admit that. But I do think Ramey is better than they say. So Ramey's the key guy from this point on. They don't have him. If they get him, he's the point guard. And then you'd have Frazier and DeSumo on the wings. And you've got enough other experienced guys on the team to back up. The team wasn't good enough this past year. they weren't good enough. So the players weren't good enough. He needs to improve the player talent. Mm-hmm. I think Griffin is a good recruit. I think Jones would be a good recruit if they can get him. He's going to announce April 11th. And they've got a junior college point guard that is very good that's in the wings right now waiting to see what Ramey's going to do. This is a real shakeup, and I'm not in any way discouraged. In fact, I'm encouraged. I feel a lot better about the team right now than I did when the season started or when it ended.
Is it fair to say I'm encouraged for the season after this coming season?
Mm-hmm.
More than I am this coming season.
But what were we going to win if you kept the team intact?
Well, it would have been nice to keep LaRon Black around.
Yeah, but you can't do anything about that. He just wanted to leave. I mean, he wasn't pushed. They did everything impossible to keep him. But
absolutely. I understand that.
He wants to make some money. And
I'm just saying, where are you going to go get your 15 points? And
yeah.
And I understand he wasn't.
He's really valuable on offense, but he was not a particularly good defensive player, and was constantly in foul trouble, or frequently in foul trouble, has his whole career. So I think that what Underwood is in the process of reshaping the team the way he wants it to be,
mm-hmm.
and he wants tough guys that will rebound, that will play stern defense, and won't give up layups. I mean, will tell you, I watched Ramey is so important because he can defend the point guard. He is a really good defensive player. This is not Mark Smith. This is a explosive guy with a good perimeter shot who can really go to the hoop. This is the best player in Missouri a year ago and now.
This is going to be a huge test here for Brad Underwood because he's basically blowing this thing up, you know, whether it's his choice or not.
It would have been a bigger test if he kept him the same.
I give you that.
Oh, boy.
But he now has to, almost from the foundation, is building this thing up.
Because mm-hmm.
there's very few players that will be left that are his guys, or weren't his guys. That were John Gross's guys.
It'll be
half
and half by the time he's going to keep, he has to keep a number of these players. But I expected, way back, I expected 5 or 6 changes, and then we're headed toward that.
Yeah, well, that's because you were smart.
No, I just knew what he was thinking. there's no question that he felt like he had to do something. Fans aren't going to be patient, and he's not patient either. He knew he couldn't do. He couldn't get his style working with the players he had. He needs tough guys, hard-nosed guys that want to play hard defensively. And the Illini, as we saw on a number of occasions, just weren't very good defensively.
We got time for a call here before we head to Shannon Ryan of the Chicago Tribune. It is Paul in Muhammad. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Oh, super. Well, you don't need me now because you said exactly what I was thinking. You don't need to worry about bodies. There's going to be plenty of bodies out there. And if you wanted improvement, you got to look at what you had. Take that away and get somebody else who's going to do better in the Big Ten. So I think that it's most of the fans are going to go along with this major shakeup and are all in favor of it. Even Black, as good as he was, it wasn't going to be the answer. He is a little bit undersized and it has the defensive liabilities. And, we talk about how great he was, but that's maybe because everybody else wasn't that great. So appreciate your vote in favor of making these changes. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Paul, for joining in the conversation. You can also text us. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. What do you think the ceiling? The way too early thought here about the ceiling of this team then. I mean, are we talking about a team that might make a tournament?
Not without Ramey.
Yeah.
They've got to have Ramey. He's the key to everything for me.
But isn't there another big that they need?
Yeah.
Somebody can take up some space.
Yeah, but got a commitment from a guy yesterday can really take space. This guy's a rebounder. He's tough. He's physical. He gives you something that they did not have. Now, is he a center or a four? That will depend on who he has with him.
Yeah. And Underwood's not been afraid of being a little undersized.
Well, as long as you got 3 guards out there. I think that if you look at the tournament, you got to have 3 guys that can handle and mm-hmm. break down defenders. I don't think that either he or Kane are going to be the kind of guys that can break down defenders, but they're big guys and can play inside. a lot depends on how good Kane is, and I frankly have no idea how good he is. I just don't know. But I think this guy, Bezhanishvili, I think that he's good enough to make a difference on both ends of the court. He's a good passer. He can score, but I don't think scoring is his big thing. He's not going to be as good a scorer as Laron Black, but he'll do other things better.
We're off and running here on Sports Talk. When we come back, we'll talk about a team that is in the tournament. The Loyola Ramblers have captured so much of the nation's heart, and they're going to the Final Four this weekend in San Antonio. Shannon Ryan of the Chicago Tribune will join us on the other side of this break here on Sports Talk.
This is Brian Barnhart. Join me on Wednesday on Pay For Your Thoughts. Well-known developer Peter Fox in the first hour at 9 and open line after that at 10. Tomorrow morning on KWS.
So glad to be with you here on Sports Talk on this Tuesday edition. Scott Beatty and Lauren Tate with you. And Shannon Ryan covers college sports for the Chicago Tribune, usually focusing on the Illini, but lately focusing on the Loyola Ramblers. Well, Shannon, good to hear from you. I bet you're getting a lot of extra time on radio and TV as well with all of this Loyola hoopla. In all the things you have covered, where does this rank? I mean, this has captured the nation, Loyola's story.
Yeah.
Does it capture you, too, as a reporter?
Yeah. I mean, just going back, you know, I've covered Super Bowls and no-hitters and Stanley Cup finals, but I am a college basketball person who really enjoys covering that. But, I mean, I think just it's such a great story to cover as a sports journalist. It's, you know, you have a 11 seed making a Final Four run. That alone is a pretty great story. Then it's, you know, a basketball team in Chicago that's, you know, pretty overlooked in Chicago. And then, you know, you've got a 98-year-old nun who's the chaplain. And just and the players are also pretty personable and accessible and don't, you know, haven't been, like, turned off by media attention their whole lives or, you know, having been like the biggest stars. It's like they've kind of become these like overnight celebrities, but they handle it so well that it's been a really fun story to cover.
I was going to ask you how they handle all this, and I guess by the fact that they're in the Final Four means they've handled the attention.
Yeah.
But is there anybody around the program that's sort of going, well, now you're paying attention to us all of a sudden, you know, with a chip on their shoulder?
No, you know, I was like, I kind of was thinking that myself. I'd probably be a little like, oh, okay, now you like. But, you know, I think they really appreciate it and are wowed a little bit by just getting messages from, you know, the Chicago Cubs players or Blackhawks players or Chance the Rapper. You know, former President Barack Obama has tweeted twice about Loyola, at least, and Sister Jean. And, you know, they just seem to really embrace it. And I think Porter Moser's kind of struck the right balance, in my opinion, because every year you see teams in the tournament who have upsets and, you know, maybe make a run and just aren't real sure how to handle it because it really is. The media attention is so magnified, and especially for a team like Loyola that's kind of the talk of the tournament now, that he's been like, you know, enjoy this, have fun. But at the same time, he's like, I can do that because every meeting we're in, every practice we're in, they are not carried away. They're completely focused and, you know, taking notes and just completely engaged just like they've been all year when no one was paying attention to us. So he's like, as long as they're doing that, it's fine. You know, they should enjoy this and they should think it's fun on top of wanting to excel and succeed at it.
Shannon, I wonder, what is it that sets Loyola apart from DePaul? Why isn't this Illinois-Chicago? Why isn't this Northwestern? What is the special thing about this particular Loyola program?
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are asking themselves right now, actually. But if you look at their roster, you know, you're not going to find like some five-star guys, but they just all play so well together in that system. But, you know, you look at their roster, though, and at the same time I say that there's not these five-star guys, the way they're playing, you can't tell me that like almost any team we're talking about in the state wouldn't take some of these guys who are local.
Yeah.
Like Cameron Crutwig, the freshman center who's got a great touch on the ball, and, you know, I think he had four assists against Tennessee. I mean, who wouldn't want that kid? You know, Clayton Custer, point guard, just kind of makes the whole team go. Who wouldn't want him? You know, even Lucas Williamson, their freshman from Whitney Young in Chicago, just, you know, comes off the bench and just has such a head about him of making good instincts and just so you wouldn't think he's a freshman out there. And, you know, you go through the roster, and I'm like, any team I can think of, like, would want these guys on their team because, you know, especially the teams we're talking about, like DePaul, or and especially when they're local guys, and that's kind of the story every year. You look at the tournament, you're like, oh, my gosh, look at all these Chicago guys that got away from every school. And Porter Moser is kind of getting a good pipeline going of Chicago Public League players looking at the school or seeing other players who have gone there and had success and getting Illinois players. He talks a lot about just, you know, when he took over the roster, there was one player, I think, from Illinois on the roster. They hadn't had a Chicago Public League player in 10 years.
Really?
Getting that going and getting a base in your state and knowing the type of player you can go after and the type of player who's going to work for you. And I think what separates them too is just the way their ball movement on offense. I mean, it's like there was a play against, I guess it was Nevada, yeah, where they had 9 passes, 5 pump fakes, and a 3 mm-hmm. from the corner. And it's just like beautiful basketball, right? You see some teams try it and you're like, oh my gosh, not going well. But they really play to the system well. And they all play together. And you don't, they're really an unselfish team. I think the assists, you hear teams say that. But when you have a team that has the amount of high assists that they have, and I wrote a story about their hockey assists, the assists before the assist, and they just share the ball so well. No one's mad when Dante Ingram hits the 3-pointer, or the next game is Clayton Custer, and then Marcus Towns. They're all like cool with whoever's the next hero up. No one seems to have like, a mentality of like, well, I want to be the star and I should take the big shot. You know, they're all passing up a shot for a game-winning shot. Some of them have like a pretty good look and are dishing it off to get the game-winning shot in the game of their lives. So just kind of all the pieces seem to be there.
They really do. And, you know, they break down the defense so well and they get in for layups and they don't get any layups blocked. You would think a team without, you know, they don't have special size. And they seem to be able, you know, I checked those 13 straight baskets they made to start the second half against Nevada, and 11 of them were layups. I mean, no wonder they're shooting 65%. I mean, they're getting in, and yet you can't seem to block their shots.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to that ball movement, and they'll drive, kick it out, and pass it around the perimeter, and just keep looking for, they always say, like, we don't want a good shot, we want the great shot, or, you know, we'll pass up a good shot to get the great shot. I think that's going to be interesting what you mentioned, though, against Michigan, who has, like, a, you know, top defense, and I think of the Final Four, the best defensive team they're going to be facing yet. But Loyola plays similar to them. But you know, who's really good about around the basket is Andre Jackson, who was a JUCO transfer into there. And just the way he's a forward and a pretty fast kid, but he's the plays he makes around the basket, they're just like, they're strong plays, but at the same time, you're like, that was a pretty shot. Like, how he got that to go in and just can move so well around the hoop.
What do you suppose, and we're talking to Shannon Ryan here on Sports Talk, follow her on Twitter, at S Ryan Tribune. Shannon, what do you suppose is the conversations that Porter Moser is having or his agent is having on his behalf right now about working somewhere else? What is the likelihood? Because that's just how it is. Anytime a team makes a run like this, people come calling for that coach. What's the likelihood that Porter Moser is Loyola's coach in the next season and beyond?
Yeah, I think the conversations are probably what can we do to stay at Loyola? He wants to stay at Loyola. I think he's been pretty clear about that. Loyola's been pretty clear about wanting to make it an attractive offer to keep him there. Every game, I think the price tag goes up a little bit. Or a lot. So that's probably the tricky part. But, you know, he's making $420,000 or something a year. You know, I think there's assistants probably on Kansas who are making that much. So it's a smaller school, of course, but he's got to get paid more. He deserves it after this. Obviously, if you know, in the coaching world, what deserve pay or, you know, to be among his peers at that level, but yeah, I think the conversations are about trying to stay there. He's from Chicago. He calls himself the Catholic kid, or, you know, from the suburbs, a Catholic kid from Chicago. But, you know, I think raising 4 kids here, I don't think he's eager to uproot them, and he's got a good thing going.
You know, you're so caught up in the story, you almost forget what the story is. They're in the Final Four. They're 2 wins away from a national championship. Is Loyola a team that can win the national championship? And I understand anybody can win if breaks go their way. But really, is this a national championship-type team?
It's going to be hard. I mean, the teams that are left are really good teams. I mean, I think like I said, Michigan can have those stretches where they're not shooting well. Loyola catches them on one of those days, maybe so. I think just Villanova is such a high-powered offense and so efficient and so many options and NBA talent. Kansas, it's not their – it's ironically, like, not Bill Self's best team, but they're playing so well and have kind of this ability to win like they did against Duke and have experience in at this level. I think that would be pretty tough. But I've been wrong. I've been wrong about Loyola, like everybody in the nation. So,
well, Shannon, as you look back over their season, analyze the when did you begin to realize that this might be a special team, or did you ever realize it?
Oh yeah, I think they go on the road and win at Florida. This is Florida was ranked number 5 at the time in the nation. That gets your attention, and just started like learning a little more about their team and had an eye on them all year. They just kind of kept rolling. Even with injuries on their team, Ben Richardson was out for a while. Their starting shooting guard, Clayton Custer, their point guard, had missed some games, and still kept winning and finding other guys that filled in fine and kept the momentum going. So, but I mean, that win against Florida, I think, completely legitimized them to me and to I think a lot of people. Not the selection committee. It doesn't seem like cause it sounds like if they didn't win the Missouri Valley, they would have been left out. But
would they have been left out, you think?
It sounds like it. I mean, just kind of when you look at the numbers and which teams were in or out, that they probably would have had to win it. Maybe, like, I've seen some people say they might have been the playing game, which that changes the whole dynamic, right, an extra game. But, you know, they're a good team. In my opinion, they deserve to be in with that type of record, with a win at Florida like that, a road win. As hard as it is for these teams to schedule, which now that, you know, I don't know, that changes things too. They're a dangerous team. But, yeah, I mean, I think they were – but, you know, they were not on – no one was still covering every single game of theirs by no stretch of the imagination. And just it's just taken on a whole new level from obscurity to celebrity with these guys.
I wanted to ask you, too, about Villanova because you used to work in Philadelphia, right? I don't know. Are you from there, too?
I'm not from there, but I worked there for quite a while.
What kind of slice of the media attention and fandom does Villanova get out there in Philly?
Yeah, Philly's a basketball city. The Big Five's a big thing, but it's similar to Chicago in that the pro teams are who everyone pays attention to. And Jay Wright loves that. He uses that to his advantage that no one cares or thinks about Villanova until the Eagles are done every single year. And he's fine with that. It takes off a lot of pressure for him and for Villanova. And they just, you know, by that time of the season, you know, maybe you've gotten the kinks worked out a little bit. No one's seeing, you know, the freshmen messing up on the floor anymore. And you've got things rolling. And everyone's like, oh, here, now we'll pay attention to you. And it's similar in that respect.
And then back to Loyola, because the other international celebrity now is Sister Jean, who you've written often about now, and you were writing about her before everybody else was paying attention to her. With Sister Jean, and I read your column on how we treat the elderly and the importance of treating the elderly right and not neglecting them. And actually, I was wondering, Lauren, if you wanted to add anything to that.
I think you should treat the elderly in good fashion. Absolutely.
But, I don't want to write her off as frail, but she is 98. Can she keep this up? Can she keep up the pace and all the attention?
She's loving it, and she's, you know, determined to go along with them. So she seems to enjoy it and likes that it brings attention to Loyola. So I think, you know, no one's going to be telling her no.
Well, yeah, she had the greatest line in the tournament. They said, "You're a national figure." She says, "No, I'm international."
Well, Shannon, we're usually talking to you about the Illini, but today we're talking to you about Loyola, and I know there is a lot going on with all that, so we appreciate a few minutes of your time.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. That's Shannon Ryan from the Chicago Tribune. Appreciate her being on with us, and boy, they're moving out of the Tribune Tower, too, down there in downtown Chicago, that iconic place. All the Tribune writers are going to a different spot that the Colonel must be rolling in his grave.
I can't believe that.
I used to give tours through his mansion up in the suburbs, and that's just wrong when the Tribune's not in the Tribune Tower. All right, we'll switch gears, some football talk when we come back here on Sports Talk. appreciate everyone being along with us here on Sports Talk here on a Tuesday night. Scott Beatty, Lauren Tate, Blake Landa is behind the scenes, and you are you. Thanks for your ears. Illinois spring football practice continuing today, and Cam Thomas back out on the field after a little minor bang-up and wasn't throwing. Rod Smith, offensive coordinator for the Illini, talking about his quarterback, at least one of them.
We got work to do, but he's very willing. Cam's a talented young man, and we can do what we need to do with Cam. He's just got to continue to get better, keep developing, and polish off some things, if you know what I'm saying. You know, he's got the ability to, I think, make any throw arm strength-wise, so that's good. We got to continue to keep working on timing and accuracy, and that's just not him. That's every quarterback. Every quarterback does that.
Of course, there's going to be more quarterbacks in that room come fall. There's going to be another key guy in a year from now in the room there as well. Rod Smith talking about the new depth.
Oh, well, we've obviously created some depth and some competition in that room, which is what I wanted. I don't want nobody feeling comfortable in there. I don't want them looking over their shoulder, but I don't want them thinking they're in a country club either. They gotta earn their stripes every day. And if they don't, somebody else will earn that stripe. And, you know, I didn't recruit anybody to come in to be a backup. I told these guys, don't you plan to be a backup. All right? Everybody plan to be a starter. You work your ass off to be a starter. And the coaching staff will decide from, you know, what direction we go from there.
I asked Rod the way too early to ask question about if is the starting job Cam's to lose, and he kind of brushed it off, said nobody's got a job right now as a starter, and everybody...
Well, he's clearly got the... It's his job at this point, so it's his job to lose.
I suppose since there's nobody else around.
They're going to have to beat him out in the fall.
Yeah, there's no other scholarship player around right now.
And the question, I don't think... I'm not sure anybody will beat him out. I think it'll be up to him to perform at a level where they can't. If he doesn't perform at a winning level, then somebody else will step in by the fourth or fifth game, I would think.
Maybe MJ Rivers, I guess, is going to be the other real competition there. I know they got the...
I just got to see these guys. You know, you can't base anything on high school.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We've learned that in more ways than one in a variety of sports.
You know, if you went back and counted this percentage of quarterbacks who came in with a scholarship who failed, it'd be way over 50% fail.
Of course, there's a lot of recruiting buzz around Illinois football right now, and Lovie Smith on how that's affecting the team and how that's hitting the field.
Well, I think so. You know, now everything is pretty public. There's no secrets on what's happening. And we are getting some momentum, but we have been. And I think we recruited well since we've been here, but it's time for us with our program to take another big step. And I feel like you have to look into the future a little bit and kind of have faith in what we're going to do. And some guys are believing in that.
You know, I don't know how you would see this, Lauren, the recruiting gets with Beeson and Williams coming in a year, assuming they stay committed, which I have no reason to believe they wouldn't, but I'm just saying they're committed verbally right now. But it's just been such a long time since guys of this caliber, ranking-wise, you know, prospect-wise, have said, yeah, I'm coming to play at Illinois. I don't know if it outranks what the Illini were getting in the mid-2000s or in years past before that, but it feels like it's a big deal.
So far, it's a small sample, but yes, I mean, it's encouraging. The thing that usually can happen on a situation like this is that good players attract other good players, and it's the good fortune of Illinois that in St. Louis in particular, most of the top players, and there are a number of them, are located in a very few parochial schools down there. And this, you know, in Chicago, they're also in on some key players at just a few key schools. And that seems to be, the advantage that Illinois has is that they've gotten already. You got to remember, the two players that they got from Dallas and St. Louis and Trinity Catholic this year, that are two are committed, they had the top players off those same teams a year ago. See, Boyd was the top player in Dallas. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a four-star tackle. Yeah. That's big. I mean, he came, and now Beeson follows. And the same thing happened out of St. Louis.
See what the domino effect is there.
Oh, listen, they attract each other.
Hey, Howard Griffith was a pretty good ball player as well, now a Big Ten studio analyst for BTN. But he came down to watch Levy Smith's squad today, and Bob Osmussen and I got to chat with him a bit.
Tell me what you thought. It's hard to know what you saw, but what do you think generally?
It's spring football, but I think, to me, this team is further along than they were last year.
Okay, interesting.
Right, and to me, that's part, right, you had the youth movement last year, right? And I think you're going to continue to build on that. And it's going to be important. I think it's also, just watching the way they practice.
Okay.
Flying around, being engaged. You see them being coached up. You see some new coaches, obviously, on the staff this year. Was really impressed with the way they talk. Because to me, when, so much of spring for me when I watch is, you want to see the players, but I also want to see how the coaches interact with those players and how they teach. Because to me, that gives you a greater insight to what happens during the season when those guys are playing and practicing together.
You're an alum who played when the team was really good. How hard is it to see two wins, three wins? How difficult has that been for you?
It's difficult, but I also understand how difficult it is to win. And, I think we all that follow the team or follow, college sports or anything, you understand that it's hard to win and hard to be able to keep consistency. And so when I see Illinois football where we are right now, it's the lack of consistency.
Yeah.
To me, so now you're seeing a little bit from the recruiting side. Lovie Smith's been here. He wants to be here. So now I think you'll start to see the recruiting side of it pick up because there's stability in the corner office. And I think to me that's a big part of it.
When you're on the BTN set, I know you try to be neutral.
Yeah.
Is it hard for you when the teams are struggling to be neutral? I mean, how do you feel when you're guys give you grief a little bit?
Well, I mean, that's part of it, right?
Right.
That's part of it. But to me, if you're gonna, as long as I'm fair, you're going to be critical, or I'm going to be critical sometimes. But as long as I'm fair, I think that's what it's really about. I'm not going to pile on. I'm never going to say this particular player is bad and they'll never win until they replace him or until they replace this coach. That's just never been, what we were committed to when we started the network. So I think consistency and being fair to not just Illinois' program, but, all the programs around in this conference, you just have to be fair and understand what you're seeing.
When Levy took over, it was, this is a staff with a ton of NFL experience, but you look at just a handful of wins in the last couple of years. Does that sort of soften that, or do you think the draw is still there because this staff has stayed together and they've added some more pieces?
Well, I think the key is that it's stayed together, right? And, I think the other side of that is you also have to look at the leadership from Josh Whitman as well, right? Because there's always going to be pressure when you're not successful immediately. Everyone's going to be saying, you got to change coaches, you got to do that, but you have to be consistent. To me, at a place like Illinois, consistency is the key, because if you make a change, okay, it's not like you're taking two steps forward, you're going to take two or three steps back. So when you see the recruiting starting to pick up, to me it's about the coaches and it's also about the stability in the program.
The story last year was youth.
Mm-hmm.
The story this year is going to be, okay, the youth has got to be a year better. Where do you think the expectations can be placed on a team like Illinois for this year?
Well, I think it's somewhere in the middle, right? Because I think as fans and people that watch the program, you say, okay, well, we started a bunch of freshmen last year, most in the country, right? So they're going to be better. But how much better? We don't know. You just assume, okay, they're just going to be better, or they're going to be great because they started so early. And that's not necessarily the case. Well, it really isn't the case, because everyone else is getting better too. And one of the things that we're seeing now in the West, particularly, everybody's ramping up. Minnesota's ramping up. Northwestern's not going anywhere. Iowa's right there. Nebraska's going to be on the rise. So, everyone's getting these new facilities, Illinois included. I mean, it's all part of it. So I think the expectations, still have to be measured. I don't think there's going to be necessarily a huge jump this year. But I think as long as you can see that it comes down to the fourth quarter, that they're in the game, to me, that's a key. You want to have a chance to win it in the fourth quarter, keep things tight, and I think they'll, that's the way they'll win.
Illinois just got this hot-shot recruit, Isaiah Williams, mm-hmm. quarterback. And I'm thinking back, Ben is the last one that kind of had the same kind of feel. Remember that when Ben, you remember, because I think you guys just started the BTN.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember thinking, that's kind of that kind of guy?
Well, yes, but it wasn't you know, it wasn't just him. It was also the fact that Juice Williams and Martez Wilt, I mean, there were, you know, yeah, Vontae Davis, you know, he blew up a screen pass in the stadium in one of his first starts, and you knew that kid was going to be special.
Right.
So you saw it on the field. As you, in this day and age now, recruiting, you know, you really don't know until the kid gets here and does what he needs to do, because there's so many people and there's so many vast opinions whether or not you're playing against great talent, whether or not you're really that good. Those are all questions and will always be. And they can't get answered until, you know, an individual actually steps on campus. But what it does signal is that, you know, people are buying into, or the elite players are buying into, or at least having a conversation that they want to be a part of this system here. And I think it's that's a good thing.
Zook did that for a while. I mean, not for long, not forever, but for a while he had people, you know, big time people saying, hey, yes, I'll come to Illinois and help fix it.
And I think you also say that he had great recruiters, not good ones.
Right.
I mean, great ones. So that's part of it too. When you have the great ones, I mean, it doesn't matter what you have. You could not have an indoor facility, and you know, the great ones can get those kids in. So it's unique. And, you know, it's tough to win here.
Right.
It's tough to win here consistently.
Right.
And I think when you...
It happened when you were here.
Yeah. But then what happened? Coaching changes. Coach leaves. Britton Newman comes in. So, again, it all goes back to really being consistent.
That's Howard Griffith talking with Bob Ospison and myself. We wrap it up in a moment.
Join me, Dave Ramsey, tonight on News Talk 1400 DWS.
Lauren, before we go, the most important news of the day.
Okay.
We now know what a catch is in the NFL.
I still don't know.
The owners got together and said, let's simplify this whole thing. You have to have control of the ball. You got to get 2 feet down or another body part, and then you have to make a football move, and then you're golden. Maybe taking a third step or extending the ball across the plane, whatever. There you go. That's a catch. Now we know.
Okay. What was it before?
I don't know. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. Good to be with you, Lauren.
Thank you.
Lauren will be back Saturday morning for Saturday Sports Talk. Thanks so much to our guest Shannon Ryan from the Chicago Tribune. We also heard from Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network. And thanks most of all for you for listening. CBS World News Roundup is coming up next. It's 45 degrees. News Talk 1400, WDWS Champaign-Urbana News Gazette Media Station. It's 6 o'clock. Good night, everybody.